Hi, welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. Today we're joined by one of our regular guests, Stephanie Smith, founder and digital matriarch at Cogwheel Marketing. In this discussion, we pick up on the topic Stephanie has written about recently, and that is the need for hotel marketeers to evolve beyond the metrics of ROI and ROAS. We discuss how there needs to be a change in hotel marketing mindset, what other KPIs should be considered to truly determine hotel performance, and what additional data sets need to be looked at to better inform strategies and decisions. And finally, we touch a little bit on what she is seeing in relation to terms of budgets, human resource, and general hotelier attitude to hotel marketing at this point. Really hope you enjoy the discussion. Let's get started.
Hi, Stephanie. Good to see you again. Thanks for joining us. How are things with you? You well?
Very good. Thanks for having me, Trevor.
Hey, no worries at all. Appreciate you giving up the time. And you're on the road, I understand. You've got events coming up. So we're all traveling. The world is starting to move into this new normal, if we can use that phrase.
Yeah, I'm excited. Got some upcoming conferences, but now mask mandates are coming back. So we'll see, they can't see my smiling face. It's good. I'm excited anyway.
Very good. Well, look, again, thanks for coming on board. Typically, when we get together, it's because you've shared an idea or written an article that suggests that typical approaches around hotel marketing or some other topic that you're passionate about, you kind of say, right, okay, this needs to change a bit. And one of the areas, and therefore the topic for today, is your kind of view that hotel marketers need to evolve past ROI and ROAS. And you recently wrote, it is, and I'm going to read here so I've got it right, it is not enough anymore to measure how many guest rooms are booked per dollar spent on your paid marketing. Instead, focus your attention on two specific areas. And then you identified two areas being, is your marketing strategy moving the needle relative to the competition in the channels you're booking right now? And are the dollars invested really changing the overall revenue picture of the hotel? Okay. So as is typical with you, kind of throw it out there and then see. What does that actually mean? Do you want to just kind of summarize where you're coming from with that point of view?
So I've worked with in a more of a commercial strategy role with a couple of different management companies. And generally, again, we're working with hotels that have, or management companies have larger portfolios that very often have, working with a lot of different brands. And the marketers, I think it's an evolution of how kind of your mindset works, because when you start playing with somebody else's money, so to speak, it's very easy to go and tout your ROIs. And but when you're only spending, you know, I have hotels that are like, okay, we're going to budget $250 to run this campaign. And I'm like, well, that's hardly worth, you know, even if you have a fantastic ROI, maybe you get a 20-to-1 ROI on that $250 spend. You're not making enough. You're probably not even making a dent in the hotel's overall budget and scheme of things. So While you might be able to have a great ROI, and I'm not saying ROI is no longer important, because you still need to make sure it's value spent, but you also need to be looking at, from a commercial strategy standpoint, the entire hotel's goal. Like, what is it that sales is working towards? What is it that the GM wants to see? What is it that revenue management is working towards? And I think there's been a lot of discussions around that aligned KPIs that we can kind of go into. And it's, I do believe the ownership is on the marketing person's shoulders to educate the team and try to change their KPIs to align with the rest of the hotel team.
Okay, so that kind of leads into, so when you were saying that there's a need to change the hotel marketing mindset to, as you say, to move more beyond the ROI. And you were talking before about it can vary attribution, depending on your attribution model, depending on your channel costs, depending on your total performance of hotel. Can you kind of expand a little bit on what you mean about that changing in the mindset piece?
Yeah, I think it's best if I kind of give an example. Because let's say a very popular marketing channel for hotel marketers is Expedia Travel Ads. So we generally see great ROIs in almost every market. There's still a lot of hotels that are still not spending. So if you are spending, less competition, so you're even maybe seeing higher ROIs than you were pre-pandemic, which is great. But I guess I would challenge those marketers to say, okay, if you got a great ROI or ROAS on spend, how are you actually, if you use better tools to say, within Expedia as a channel, am I gaining market share? Am I actually using this channel to outperform my comp set? Am I stealing market share so that I'm outperforming the competition in that specific channel?
Right.
So if your contribution margin, you know, generally is from X, you know, what's the contribution margin from your comp set? And by running these ads, are you one, cannibalizing your organic listing, but number two, are you actually moving the needle so that you're stealing market share from that segment and from that channel?
Because sometimes the spending the money and seeing a correlation to that, it's like, well, where are you? I think this is what I understand what you're saying is, where are you stealing it from is the wrong word, but you know, are you actually affecting yourself or are you affecting the competitors? Yeah.
Yes. And it's very easy to look at it in a siloed approach and say, okay, we spent X and we made X. But in the whole scheme of things, like, you know, we started working with some hotels and we're starting to use that to determine, you know, what's our budget and what our spend. If you're, you know, if your Expedia, you know, is already seeing a, you know, a 10% occupancy share and the comp says at 5, do we really need to spend more on Expedia? You're obviously already capturing more than your fair share through that channel. So maybe we need to focus on where we have a deficit or where the comp set is actually outperforming us. Because I still don't believe that, very rarely, unless you have like a resort or some type of destination hotel, we're not usually in a place to create demand. We're really just trying to steal it from the comp set.
I've got you. And that's why, in a way, you said that some of these factors, and that's where you start to think about what different KPIs to consider. That leads into where you were saying, you know, as part of your channel mix, the percentage of business you get from your brand website alone can be a bit irrelevant. I mean, you made this comment that, you know, the percentage of business that you get from your brand website alone might be irrelevant. The percentage itself is neither good nor bad. I mean, what were you meaning by that?
I mean, channel mix, when you look at the different channel mix, and I love this, you know, as a metric. And so you're looking at the percentage of revenue you get from your website, the percentage you're getting from your OTAs, the percentage from GDS, the percentage from your direct and sales efforts, and the percentage you might get from your phone. Some hotels break out phone revenue separate, some of them don't.
Yep.
When you start looking at those, you know, channels, a lot of times we're comparing against ourselves, but because of the pandemic, comparing it to 2020 numbers is obviously not going to help us at all. But even comparing to 2019 numbers against yourself is kind of, considering most markets are seeing totally different travelers and totally new segments, even those numbers comparing against yourself are not necessarily relevant or a good baseline to say, you know, is this incremental? Are we doing better or worse? So when you start looking at that channel mix in aggregate against your comp set, so this unfortunately isn't available in the STAR report, which is, you know, the golden standard, but it doesn't really give you that total picture of how you're performing channel mix wise against your comp set. And I think that's where we should start aligning our KPIs in a commercial strategy realm.
And that comes back to what you were saying a moment ago about, are you cannibal? What are you comparing against? You know, if you're looking very parochially or just inwardly as to how you as a hotel are comparing to previous years, then that's not showing a broad enough comparable metrics. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, because it's, you know, like if I'm working, for example, with a Marriott hotel and they're, you know, occupancy contribution is, let's say, 35% from brand.com. Well, great. And maybe it's 2 points higher than 19, but in the whole scheme of things, if you are, especially if you have other Marriotts in your comp set, which is fairly likely and reasonable assumption, at least in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, how much is your Marriott website booking compared to the comp set?
Gotcha.
You know, they can be doing 45%, which means that you're not performing
as well.
Yeah. Or you're not maximizing your Marriott channels, or you're not maximizing the, you know, whatever it is, the tools that Marriott has available, and they're just working with the brand better than you are. So yeah. There could be a lot of different factors, but once you put it in perspective and say 35 is great, but is it great compared to, you know, the 45 that my comp set's doing?
Gotcha. Yeah. As you say, in isolation, the numbers could look positive, but you give a comparison and they may not look quite as rosy as you thought in the first place. Now, you touched on STAR. Obviously, as you say, that's the metrics data everyone refers to, but you said there that some of the information that you feel is critical is not available. So I guess if we're looking to draw different comparable data, different KPIs, we need different data sets that we're utilizing. So if it's not within the STAR report, and we're not saying it's not worthwhile, but in terms of following your train of thought, we need to be doing more, what other avenues are there available?
I mean, my favorite tool, I try to dip into, hopefully your revenue management team has some better tools available. My favorite is going to be Demand 360 by TravelClick. The reason being, they have some really great data where you can look at both past data and forward-looking data. We know, like, for example, the STAR report is only looking at the past and trying to make mm-hmm. those changes for the future. Mm-hmm. Demand also has broken down by channel. You can also see rolling 12 months and looking forward. So what do we have on the books? Like, are we, from a pay standpoint on those channels, getting a better, you know, getting our fair share on the books right now? So yep. Like, we have a couple of hotels, yep. you know, where we're already looking at, you know, we're already looking later into Q4 if they normally have a bigger, you know, what are we doing for the holidays and things like that? Because we wait to the last minute, you know, how is that going to help us? And then I also have a strong belief that, and I think there was a recent article written about it as well, that after everyone goes back to school here in the United States come September, if BT hasn't come back and we don't have transient, we're going to be left
in
a bad place. Yeah, so absolutely. you need to be. Right. We need to be looking at what's on the books. Are we seeing, for your specific market, are you seeing any traction, you know, forward looking? And that STAR report just doesn't give you the forward looking data.
I've got you.
That you need, especially by channel.
So that was a Demand 360. Are there any other solutions out there or any other options available?
Yeah. I mean, more cost effective is going to be Calibri Labs. I think I always say there. Sorry, Jennifer and Cindy. I already say that wrong. I think that using that tool, I would not get it solely as a marketer because there's so much data in there and it's really a revenue management tool. I'm always just going in there and finding specific reports that help me, again, align my goals and strategies with our revenue management team. But they have some very similar data points and they focus a lot more on the cost of sales component of it. So you can really understand even better, I think, than Demand, like the cost of each of your channels. So you're instead of looking at a top line standpoint, you're really looking at it from a profit standpoint. So I think that those are the two best tools that I've used. I'm not saying there aren't other tools out there, but from a branded hotel standpoint, those are the two that I come across most frequently. And no marketer ever has this data. It's more about partnering with your revenue management team and seeing what data points they have.
And I guess being able to understand the cost of your channel helps you just to evaluate if you are going to be spending money, which one is performing best and at what cost.
Yeah. Well, I think during the pandemic, we would have taken whatever room came through whatever channel at whatever cost. But in the last 3 months, at least in the United States, we've certainly seen a shift where we can start going back more and focusing on driving direct and channel shifting and things like that. I know we've talked in the past about my kind of meta search theories. Yeah. And I think as we've started to see demand come back, we can be a little bit more pickier and choosier about channels, looking, refocusing on cost of sales where, you know, for 12 to 16 months, that wasn't the game that we were playing.
Yeah, that makes sense. And when you touched on your belief that you need to move beyond, not away from ROI, but maybe beyond ROI. But then you also picked up in one of your articles that you believe ROI is missing a critical element within the calculation. Can you kind of expand a bit on that?
you know, so if you look at the typical ROI formula being, you know, revenue minus expenses divided by expenses, that one only considers, you know, top line, and that only considers book data. So the other metrics you have to look at, again, like we talked about, is your cost of sale for that channel. But we also have to look at cancellation rates. I mean, with a lot of the big brands kind of being much more lax on the cancellation rate, you know, in some markets, we were seeing as much as 40% cancellation rate. So that's great if you booked $1,000, but, you know, if only 60% stayed, you know, really what you should be calculating off of, you know, your cost of acquisition is drastically different than what that baseline ROI shows. So understanding, and especially with branded hotels, it's really, really hard for us to understand that what that cancellation rate is per channel, or it's hard to break that down from the PMS data. But I know with independent hotels, it's a lot easier to be able to calculate and take that into consideration into your ROI formula. So before you do that revenue minus expenses, it needs to be revenue minus cancellations minus expenses divided by expenses, I guess, would be the more accurate. I guess I need to have a more complicated formula for commissions. So.
Yeah, but it's an important factor, and as you say, it's easily overlooked, but probably maybe brought to the fore a little bit more because of the changing cancellation policies, the shift in sands that are going on at the moment. That important to probably bring that into the equation more now than it was certainly 2-3 years ago, without a shadow of a doubt. Now, one of the things that you also mentioned, and you touched on the idea with it, you spoke about Expedia. And gave an idea of how to look at that. And there's obviously other traditional digital marketing channels like Google AdWords. As you say, you've touched on Meta Search, also hotels' own B2B channels. And you spoke about how the need to take a more holistic approach to these kind of typical digital channels. As I say, you've already given the example around Expedia. If there's any other examples around there, feel free. But are there any other examples you can give around some of the other channels that people should maybe consider in light of what we've just been discussing?
Yeah, well, I think one, from the holistic standpoint that you mentioned, you have to, you know, look at it. You know, like I said, if you're only spending $250 and you have a 21 ROI, it's really, I think it's kind of, I would be a little embarrassed to go to the owner and be like, hey, we got a really great ROI. But they're like, well, if we still, we're down $250,000 against budget for the month of July. Is that really what we should be hanging our hat on?
Like, yeah.
You can do a couple of things right, but you need to be doing a lot of things right. There's no one silver bullet in any marketing, sales, or revenue management strategy, but we have to be able to kind of be firing on all cylinders to be able to kind of tell the same story. Mm-hmm. But I think from a channel standpoint, you know, I feel quite passionately, at least within the branded ecosphere, that MetaSearch is more of an incremental channel. So when you start looking at those metrics that we've been talking about, understanding that contribution margin against your comp set, you know, I've seen some brand direct, you know, perform really, really high in the last couple months, which has been really positive. I didn't expect to see those high numbers. But when I look at, do we turn MetaSearch back on? We're looking at it and saying, what's your occupancy contribution from some of your OTA channels? Do we even need to turn on MetaSearch? If you're, you know, I think if you're still less than 10% channel mix on your OTAs, then you probably should be putting your money elsewhere. Because one, we're still seeing on some channels pretty low spend on MetaSearch. So again, like if you're only spending $150, like, is it really even worth the management of my time to capitalize on $150 spend? Like, no offense if you have a small budget, but you know, if that's what you have, like, is that the best place to spend it? And then from a MetaSearch standpoint, you have other things that you should be calculating into your equation in terms of, if it was incremental revenue, should you be using in that revenue minus expenses and out of expenses? If it's incremental revenue above and beyond Expedia, then you should, that revenue number should be the difference between your, you know, what you made incrementally on that channel, not necessarily the full value of that booking.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, and we've spoken about
to get an ROI research.
Yeah, I mean, you've spoken a lot about that, and we've had you on here to talk about that in the past. That sometimes it's not calculated accurately is the wrong word, but maybe it doesn't reflect the degree of incremental revenue that it really should do if you want to use it as that channel. I think that was the big push for you before. It's like, yeah, this should be incremental, because otherwise all you're doing, if you're taking it away from Expedia or Booking, it's not incremental revenue. It's just, there might be a different cost associated with that revenue. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know for all my hotels that are independent, there's more value in focusing on that, because you can get the client, the guest data, or you can do remarketing to them, then there's value in that. But that's not always the same story on the branded hotel side.
No, that makes sense. And what about looking at it? I mean, if you're looking at it from you're looking at it from Meta Search, you mentioned Expedia before. Anything around sort of the Google and campaigns with the Google AdWords or?
Yeah, from a Google AdWords standpoint, I mean, if you're just buying keywords through PPC on a pay-per-click model, it's never had a super high ROI. Mm-hmm. We try to look at it more in a comparison against what our organic rankings are, which is sometimes hard to tell.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to buy keywords, you want to buy keywords that, one, you don't have exposure for, or where you would never be in that consideration set. So for example, you know, if you're trying to steal market share from the town that's beside you, mm-hmm. if your comp set or star is in geographically in a different city location, then maybe you want to look at buying keywords in that, because you're probably not ever going to organically show up for hotels in XYZ city if you're physically not located in that city. But there, I guess it's frustrating because I've seen, some people tout that you have really great SEO, that it's reflective in your star, mm-hmm. and just don't believe that, because you can be ranked number one in, you know, every single search on Google, and you could still be underperforming because of either lack of group or, you know, any number of metrics. Like,
yeah.
just because you have great SEO, that's one single silo, that's one single channel. And I'm not saying that there isn't value in great SEO and great placement on Google, but your hotel as a whole could still be underperforming, even if you're number one, you know, for every search term in your market.
No, that makes sense. And I think that's the point. And all through the 20 minutes or so that we've been talking, it's not saying one is right and one is wrong. It's just saying, maybe just check, you know, just have a conscious check that, is it the right metric? Are we looking at things in a singular way that we did before? Are there other things that, as competition is growing, as budgets are tight, as resources are tight, can we just be making sure that we are effective? And I think it comes back to the comment you made at the very beginning, one of your first propositions, which is it actually moving the needle? Because I think, again, you can get caught into, we're doing something. And so that almost gives a slightly false impression. And you've mentioned a couple of times, and I know you're not denigrating anyone that has a small budget, you know, if we only have $150 or $250 or $500, but there maybe is a question mark from what I'm picking up from what you're saying to say, well, are you actually with that level of budget going to be able to shift enough to make even the time managing it and dealing with it actually worth the process? Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, and I a lot of times, though, it's that's the gateway. So you have to go to owners and say, just give me a little bit, let me show you what I can do. So, you know, if I can continue to maintain, and I still have these conversations even with all the other commercial strategy discussions I have, that's usually how I get more money, is I say, look, I've been doing, you know, this, you know, I've been spending this much and delivering this ROI, and that conversation still happens, because that's what owners understand from an ownership standpoint. But, you know, with your sales and marketing and revenue management, like, you're just going to have a little bit different conversation. And I think it's an evolution over time. When I first started doing this, however many years ago, I would, you know, when you're just learning how to run campaigns, you're learning how to maximize the use of every dollar spent. You know, how can I squeak a few more bookings out of this this dollar or whatever money that I have. I mean, I think it's only natural, but as you progress in your career, you have to start inserting yourself into those harder conversations where you're probably not comfortable talking, you know, the same language, revenue management, you're not comfortable talking, but if, and most sales and revenue management people still don't understand the core foundations of how digital marketing can help them achieve their goals. So I think it's up to us as marketers to insert ourselves and be able to say, okay, we know that you're trying to, you know, reach X, and we, or, you know, they're going to have better knowledge to say the comp stat's getting this market and we're getting none of it. What can we do in marketing to align our paid campaigns to help them reach their goals so that everybody can tout good metrics and good KPIs.
You spoke a bit there about talking with the revenue management team, with the sales team from a marketing perspective. And I know, you know, we know from anyone that's watched our previous conversations, you deal with branded properties. Every property, as far as I'm aware, has been hit some way, shape or form by the pandemic that we've been living through. How has things like teams, as in sales teams, revenue management teams, you know, are they slimmed down? Are they coming back? You know, you're interfacing with hotels all the time. You're talking with peers and colleagues. So, you know, for me, the question is very much, are we seeing budgets coming back? Because they, you know, everyone was talking at the beginning of how the marketing budgets were being cut. Because I guess, you know, everything you've said makes absolute logical sense. But if the aim is to move the needle and to insert ourselves into having those conversations, then I guess we need to have those people around to have those conversations. And we also need to make sure there's some budgets around for us to be able to shift the needle. I mean, are things starting to, I know it's not back to how it was, but are we starting to see a return back to where it was previously, even to some degree?
I think it depends on the mindset of that company and that ownership group. Some people have leaned into it more. And I think those people that have that first mover advantage are seeing better performances than their comp set.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the conversations we're having is we're trying to understand the pain points of the hotel and align our goals and strategies. So for example, like we know most of the sales teams are still, while they're coming back, they're still on reduced staffing models.
Yeah.
So what can we do either using email marketing, using automation, using personalization to help them do their job better? How can they cast a wider net? How can they cast a wider reach and do more in a small amount of time because they're
less.
Short staff?
Yeah.
Same thing. Right. So how can we step in from a marketing standpoint and help achieve those goals, help them achieve their goals and free them up to, you know, to have the time? And same thing with operations. Like, you know, we're certainly a fan of running social media campaigns, but in the last 60 to 90 days, the hotels are like, you know, we don't want to do any money in marketing because we can't even, you know, we can't sell to the occupancy one because we can't clean the rooms. We're having to put a cap, you know, on our occupancy levels. I'm like, okay, let's change the conversation that we're having. Instead of using marketing to drive awareness and occupancy, we've been shifting funds to help them post jobs on social media and run ads to help get more applications through social media, especially for non-employee positions.
Right. Yeah.
So it's about understanding that hotels, what their hotel's goals are, and us saying, okay, this is how we're going to shift our strategy to help focus on where you need the help right now.
I'm with you. So the medium that you use might be the same. The tools or the tools that you use and the strategies you use may be the same. It's just the message is changing to what the priority is at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, obviously staffing is an issue everywhere, but we have seen some really good results from social media campaigns and applications wise, because every other hotel just always uses Indeed. And you can get kind of, at least here in the United States, that seems to be what everyone uses. And it isn't working. And I'm not saying hotels still have a problem getting people to show up, but it's about, again, aligning our goals with what's happening at the hotel.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think it just reflects the fact that it's, you know, yes, we may be getting vaccinated. Yes, we might be seeing cases go up and down. Yes, we might be feeling that we're moving out of it, sometimes faster and sometimes slower than we would like. But I think the challenges for the hotel sector still exist on multi-layers, don't they? Because it's not just them having to cope with the challenges they have of attracting people to come and stay with the property. It's then, as you say, it's the restrictions that may be put in place because of from staffing issues or from other regulations that may be there. But I think you know, coming back to the point that have mentioned and the purpose of this conversation is really just to say we have gone through a lot of change. And so while we've adjusted to some change, maybe now is the time to also just question yourself, should we be at least changing the way we look at the metrics? Are there other ways that we should be reviewing how we're performing? Are there other areas that we should be considering to make sure that we don't just keep repeating what we were doing before when we were running at a much higher occupancy with higher budgets and those conversations that were going on previously? I think that was kind of the core message I took from it, if that's the right one.
Yeah, no, I think that's a lot of people are used, you know, we're getting ready to go into budget season here in the United States. So it's a conversation. Most people are going to go, would have previously went in there and created their 2022 budget. They would go in there and determine what they're going to spend for the year. And I think that we've actually switched to more of a quarterly planning approach. So instead of trying to create a yearly marketing plan and try to guess what the future is, it's more like, you know, this is what's happening this quarter, but do we have a plan from a marketing standpoint for when group comes back? Do we have a plan built so that when the time is right, that we can pull the trigger on those campaigns? Do we have a plan for BT? So it's about having those ready and being able to tweak those based on what's going on in your market and being able to shift and be agile. So we kind of been doing more quarterly audit, quarterly marketing plans so that we can say, okay, this is what we're gonna do now, but we have to be ready to change for when the market changes. Because you just can't, until things, I mean, there's no sense of normalcy or comparison metrics. So until we have more static things happening, it's really hard to plan much farther in the future. I don't think you can.
I think that's a really interesting point. Just that last point that you made there about, you know, looking at what your business mix is and then developing strategies to be able to respond to that. And then almost back to your point of what different metrics are we seeing and how are we looking at these different metrics that give us some kind of trigger or indication or a flag to say, okay, something seems to be shifting here a little bit. We've got the plan to put into place. Has that shifted enough for us to actually press the button to go on that, but to be ready for it? And I think you spoke earlier about the, I can't remember the phrase that you used, but like, not early engagers, I can't remember, you used a particular phrase, which is people that are not sitting. So it's like you're the clients that you're working with and the advice that you're giving them is saying, okay, well, we got to be a first mover, because if we're going to compete, we need to be seeing when that needle is starting to shift in that particular part of our business mix. And so if we're ready, when we see that needle shift, we can be a first mover, and therefore you start to grab the attention and hopefully follow through, grab the interest and then grab the booking, rather than waiting until you start to read all the reports, which is historical, to say, oh, we saw bookings going up, and then thinking, oh, we need to get into this, it's moving. You've already shifted and got into that space early. So I think, yeah, that's a really key, interesting point.
That's so key. I think one of the ones we're doing that the most for right now is looking at GDS as part of your channel mix contribution. Because, you know, during the pandemic, you'd be lucky for most hotels if you saw maybe 2% contribution from GDS channels. But being able to look at that comparatively and say, what do we see on the books, you know, in Demand 360? Are we seeing that channel start to pick up? And you got to start looking, you know, did it increase? If it increased 2 points, if it increased 3 points, being able to say, I mean, that's, if you were starting it too, that's almost double the contribution. So that's something, you know, we're not turning on GDS advertising until we start seeing that traction. But that's certainly using those same tools from a channel contribution. And maybe it's only one account, so you do have to be aware of what accounts you're producing, obviously, things like that. It might just be, but, you know, and I think every hotel has a needle eye on, like, the big accounts in their market, but there's so many smaller accounts that can make up for that in that GDS space that you really have. That's another using those same tools we talked about. I think GDS is a good example of that too.
And I think you're right. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of discussions over the last number of months about forward-looking data, and yes, makes perfect sense. But I think it's like anything to do with data, isn't it? It's only as good as what you actually do with it, because the data kind of sits there. It's accessible. It can tell you what you want it to tell you. But if you don't actually have a plan to do something with it when it reaches a certain point, and then how are you going to action based on what you are being told? It's just data for data's sake then, isn't it?
That's so true. And I feel bad for any revenue manager, because the amount of data they have to deal with is so overwhelming. I have certain things that I'm using kind of as trigger points. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you go in Calibri Labs, the amount of data in there and the way you can slice it and dice it is so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you could spend all your time analyzing it, none of your time action planning from it.
Yeah. And I think that's where, as you say, the role that you're playing. And I guess that's then when those conversations come in to say, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to engage earlier than any of our competitors? And that almost drives you, because you know you've got to start the marketing to gain the awareness to drive that intent. So then you have to be having those conversations with the sales and with the revenue management and looking at the different data sources to work out, well, what metric or metrics are we going to use that is going to give us, raise a flag to say, okay, now we need to do something about this. Now we need to kick this plan into play. So it's your conversations are happening much earlier in the process, aren't they?
Well, that's a good point, because a lot, even looking at the metrics in Demand 360, even though it's forward looking and you can look at it from a, you know, what's on the book standpoint, by the time the bookings have happened, you've missed that awareness component potentially. So, you know, we use some other tools, not quite as strong, but like looking at Google Trends, which is a free tool to see, you know, what people are searching for in your market may not mean what they're, when they're booking. It's not the best, it's not going to be as detailed, you know, breaking it down by channel or by, but you can at least break it down by market and make some assumptions to say, you know, because we've had some of our hotels, especially like Southern California, we've started to see our booking window, especially for weekends, really elongate and booking people booking much farther out, which during the pandemic wasn't really happening. So, you know, being conscious of that, and from a branded hotel standpoint, again, it's very hard to get that. You know, if you're an independent hotel, you can place, you know, some additional code on your booking calendar and see what dates people are searching for versus when they're on your website, like what date, how far out they're searching. Okay. And you can get that data a little bit from the OTAs through Expedia and Booking.com. I think Booking.com has it pretty readily available, like how far people are booking out. And you can even look at it versus your comp set, which I think is a good metric. But I think there's only that subset of people that are using those OTAs. But again, to your point, are you missing the awareness window because you're waiting until you see the bookings? It might be a detrimental.
Yeah, and I think kind of summing it up around that conversation about metrics, to me, that's the key, or that would be the key if I was running a hotel. It's like there is nothing, the only thing that is really definitive is have I got a booking or not.
No, it's only have they stayed.
Well, I guess you're right. Yeah. Cancel. They can still cancel, back to your point before. So yeah, did they actually say, did I see them? Have I got paid?
Did I get my money? Yeah. How's my collections going?
Absolutely. But everything else are indicators. And, you know, you could choose whatever indicator. What you're just trying to see is it changing? And to what degree do I need it to change for me to action the plan I've put in place? So what you choose to use, what you choose to evaluate, whether it's sophisticated or not as sophisticated, there could be debates, many debates about that, and many people would tell you what they should be using. But I guess the first message really is try and be looking a little earlier on in the process and at least have something that's telling you, okay, there's a few clues here that something is starting to change, and then analyze what is changing and what does that mean in terms of getting in there early on. Because I just feel a lot of people are waiting until, as you say, the normal reports come out, the how are things going in these different regions, and then that will trigger people saying to their marketing team or say, well, we need to get on this. And by that team, you're now suddenly responding the same as the vast majority, and you've got a chance to be ahead of the curve. So no, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And there's so many people that are trying to enjoy what's happening in the summer. You know, I've seen better ADRs in 2021 in some markets than we did in 2019. That's
incredible.
And so they're like, okay, we're trying to make up some of our lost revenue. I totally get it. But don't call me on September 5th and be like, I got no business because everyone's back in school and my transient is non-existent. You know, like I've been trying to tell you, like, we got a plan for what happens when the summer's over, at least here in the US. So I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I hope BT comes back stronger. And I know, like, for us, the Canadian borders are going to open August 9th. So okay. I know everyone's really excited about the timing of that.
Help. Yeah.
That'll help some markets. But
I think the challenge is there's so many factors in that piece of business, though, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's so hard to nail that down. We will see. A good excuse for us to get back together in a couple of months' time and see what's happening.
And see if the predictions were right or wrong, right?
Absolutely. Brilliant. Well, I think that's covered everything that we wanted to, and I wanted to kind of get your view on from that moving beyond ROI or ROAS. And just that broader perspective, as you say, you know, you're not saying one's wrong or one's right. It's just, let's maybe look a little bit more broadly. Let's take a different view at it. Let's use this opportunity to make sure that we are actually using our limited budgets, our limited resources wisely, and actually moving the needle properly. So any final thoughts from your side, or did we cover everything that you wanted to?
You summed it up expertly, as you always do. Thank you.
Brilliant. Well, on that positive comment, I'll leave you to go. And as always, been great talking to you. And thanks so much for your time. It's really appreciated.
Thank you.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest. And thanks again to Stephanie for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. We value your input and we're happy to follow up with our guests. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. That's INSIGHTS, insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. If you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you would consider subscribing. It really helps out the channel, which helps us to help others. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.